Going to be reading Matthew 26, 36 to 46. 26, 36, 46. So if you're able, would you stand, please, to honor his word? Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. They said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So would you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." May the Lord bless his word.
I was recently watching this show called Kings of Pain. And what it is there's these two guys who travel all around the world. It's really entertaining. They travel all around the world, and they will take different animals and insects and let these creatures bite them or sting them. And then they'll rate after how painful it was and how bad it was. Well, one episode I was just watching a couple weeks ago, these two guys decide to have a python bite them. And, you know, they're waiting, you can see them sweating. And the first guy goes and he puts his arm out, and the python just bites on and doesn't let go, and it tears apart his skin. And he's screaming and starts to cry a little bit. And he's like, "Get it off me." And his friend is watching this. So they get the python off, and he's watching all the blood just go down his arm. And then he's like, "Oh, now I have to go." So he kind of sits there for a few minutes. And his friend is like, "You don't have to do it if you don't want to. It was awful." Well, he responds and he says this, "I don't want to do it, but it's my job." And here in this passage, we find Jesus in a similar scenario where there's this upcoming pain. And you can see in his human will that he doesn't want to do it, but he has this solemn duty which he does fulfill. And the text here shows us Jesus' final moments before he's betrayed. And just from reading it, you can tell that it's a very somber passage, and you can feel the weight of it. Spurgeon noted, "No man can rightly expound a passage such as this. It is a subject for prayerful, heartbroken meditation more than for human language." And that's because here we get a unique glimpse at the very soul of Jesus Christ. And this passage is about the Son submitting to the Father's will. And I hope, and I've prayed this a few times for all of you, that this passage tonight, it would warm your heart to the gospel once again. And we're going to look at this in three different aspects, and they're interwoven throughout the text. We're going to look at Jesus' pain, Jesus' prayer, and Jesus' people. And our narrative here takes place in Gethsemane. And Jesus often met here with the disciples. And Gethsemane was a garden which was at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. And the word Gethsemane, it means olive press. So this is a picture for us of the crushing burden that Jesus was enduring. And as they go into the garden, he says, sit here, and I'm going to go over there and pray. And he takes with him Peter and James and John, and he says, watch with me. Now, actually, before we get into that, I want us to notice here that this, even though that they went here often, that they quickly noticed that something was different. Matthew tells us that he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And if it wasn't clear enough, Jesus himself says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. And we can all relate to this to some degree, probably to a much less degree, but we can all relate to this. Something is coming up that you were just dreading, a surgery, or maybe you're watching a loved one on their deathbed, or you have a difficult decision to make. We clearly see here the humanity of Christ. Something was about to happen, and he was feeling the burden of it. The hour has come, and he is experiencing this intense grief. But not only can we relate to our Lord in this way, but he can relate to us. Isn't it comforting to know that our Lord understands our grief in a personal way? He doesn't just understand our pain as the omniscient God, but as a real man. And in his agony, he asks his disciples, his friends, to stay and watch with him. And Jesus goes a little farther. Some commentators say maybe around 50 to 60 feet away. He was within hearing distance, and we're told that he falls on his face. In his humanity, he was weak, and the weight of his pain just drove him to the ground. And it was in true humility as he bowed before the Father, and he prayed, my Father. Mark says that Jesus said, Abba, Father. This is a personal cry from the heart of Christ, from the Son to the Father. And he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I want us to notice here something important, that Jesus was not tricked into doing this or forced into it. He knew perfectly well why he came into the world, and he spoke of it many times throughout his ministry. So when he says, not as I will, this is a prayer of holy surrender. He is submitting to the Father's plan and his providence, because it was the Father who sent him. So what Jesus here is praying in is this, and I'm going to put it a little more simply. Father, your wrath is burning, my betrayer is nearing, my cross is waiting, and though I am suffering, I still am willing. Jesus understood and desired for his Father's will to be done, and so he submits himself to that. What a valuable lesson that is for the Christian, that there will be times where we endure suffering and heartache and loneliness and grief and pain and affliction. But let us learn from our Lord and confess with our hearts, O Father, not our will, but yours be done. And I want us to remember this truth here, and we see it here with Christ, that everything that happens in your life is brought to you by the hand of providence. So Jesus prays this, and he goes back to his disciples, and he finds them doing the exact opposite of what he told them to do. He told them to watch, and there they are with their eyes closed, sound asleep. As I read through this, I was like, what is the deal with that? They clearly saw he was suffering and in pain. So did they not care? Were they not concerned at all for Jesus? Luke gives us some insight, and he says that they were sleeping for sorrow. So as Jesus comes up to them, he looks at Peter, and he says, you couldn't wait and just watch 1 hour? And then he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. As Pastor Ben prayed earlier, we know that that Peter just recently said that he would never leave him, that he would never deny him, that he would die before he did that. And yet he couldn't even stay awake. But even though Jesus corrected them here, there was also a lot of care that he was showing. Listen to what he says again. "Watch and pray that you might not enter in temptation." This wasn't for him. He was giving this message to his disciples for them. And even in his suffering, he was still caring for his people. So he says to watch, and this time he adds pray. He says, "Watch and pray that you might not enter in temptation." What is this temptation that Jesus was warning them about? I think it's revealed in their future actions over these next couple passages. Matthew Henry broke it down and said this: their temptation was to disbelieve, distrust, deny, and desert him. So as Jesus looks at them, he says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So their spirit was willing, and they were weak. And because of that, they were susceptible to falling into temptation. But unlike them, Jesus was not only willing to obey, but he was strong to do so. Hebrews 7 tells us, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. And that word able comes from the Greek word dunamai, which means strong, that he is strong to do so. So not only do we see Christ's weakness here in his humanity, but we see his strength, for he was bearing all the sins of all his people. So Jesus gives his disciples this warning, and he goes away and prays again. And Luke gives us some additional insight and says that Jesus now was praying more fervently and that he began to sweat blood. It was as if the impending punishment was crushing him like an olive as blood just dripped down his face onto the ground. Isaiah 53:10 tells us that it was the will of the Lord to crush him. And Paul later comments in Ephesians 5 that this crushing was a fragrant offering to God. So as his grief intensified, so did his prayer. And he said, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Drink what? Well, drink from the cup that he mentioned in the first prayer. And I want to read to you guys what Eric read earlier, Psalm 75. Listen close to this, verses 7 and 8. "It is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine." In the Old Testament, this cup was a picture of God's wrath and his judgment. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And now it was being given over to the Son to drink. And only he could drink it for his people. And this is what Jesus was suffering over. He wasn't mentioning anything about the death itself, or about the cross, or the crown of thorns, or being whipped, or being spit on and beaten. He didn't mention any of that. It was the full wrath of God that Jesus was focused on. Luke tells us that an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. And I'm convinced from reading this that he was dying and needed to be sustained in order to be our living sacrifice. And in total surrender, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." So Jesus prays this again, and he returns, and his disciples are sleeping. And he goes to them, and Mark tells us that when they saw him, they didn't even know what to say. They were that out of it. So Jesus looks at them and goes back, and he prays a third time. Notice here the faithfulness of Jesus. His people were not true to him, and yet he was still faithful to them. We so often fall short of obeying God's commands, don't we? And yet, just as he lived to make intercession for them, he lives to make intercession for us. So the third time he comes back, and he says, "Sleep later, the hour has come." The hour that he has been talking about from the beginning of his ministry. It was finally here where he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And it was all brought about by the sovereign hand of God. Knowing this, he doesn't turn away or even wait, but he says, "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." He freely went. And this is where our passage here ends, with the Lamb willingly on his way to be slaughtered for sinners. So let us model our Lord in two ways, submission and satisfaction. Submit yourself to the will of God, even when it goes against what you want or what you think is best, even when it hurts, submit yourself to his will. And not only submit yourself, but be satisfied with it. We see here that our Lord did not complain or argue, and he was not drugged to his betrayer. And in closing, I want you to consider the words of this hymn. And this is one that's familiar to most of us. And it was, as I was listening to it on the way up here, it made me think of this passage. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And we are able to sing, it is well, because we know and we trust and believe that it is his will. So then the application is this, submit and be satisfied. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that your will always be done, and we pray that it will continue to be so. We thank you for sending Jesus into this world, and that he was willing to suffer your wrath and the cross and the beatings and the shame for sinners, for guilty sinners, and that he bore it all. And we thank you and praise you for that though we are unfaithful so often, that you are still true to us. And Lord, I pray that we would leave tonight with our hearts warmed to this truth, that you are so good, and we thank you for this. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.